Morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. I'm Olwen, and have been around here for a little while, it would be fair to say, being one of the older ones around this part of the church. It's really great to see so many students, particularly this morning. Slightly unusual that when we started, we assumed or made an assumption that 4 o'clock would be a student service or more student service than anything else. I'm just really excited to see that students are here as well as families and other people this morning. That's really encouraging. My husband and I run a business here in the city centre, surrounded by giants yesterday, which was also really exciting too. So we are looking at the moment at the kingdom of heaven through some of Jesus' sayings and some of how he projected what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And we're trying to build those into our values that we have as a church. And so this morning, as you've already heard from Phil's reading, or the reading from the Bible, we're looking at the kingdom of heaven being like a little child. And what we're focusing in terms of vision and value as a church, is the one of serving each other, serving our community, serving when it's inappropriate or it's not appropriate to our timing, and learning what it is to be lowly and humble and to live a life of servanthood. Okay, nobody's left at this point, so that's good. I hope you're up for this, because I think it's one of the hardest passages to, not necessarily to read, but to take on board and to live out. So let's have a look at it. Just to put it in context, Mark also mentions this passage as well. And it was interesting that in Mark's passages, it would appear that Jesus had started this conversation in a way, because he'd heard the disciples in a corner maybe discussing something, and he asked them what they were discussing. I don't know about you, but those moments when you're having a little chat with a few people and somebody comes along and says, oh, what are you talking about? And there's that moment when you think, do we actually say what we're talking about? That moment of, should we tell the truth? Hang on, this is Jesus that's asking this question. And so the disciples actually told him what they were talking about. And what they were talking about was, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, they'd been close to Jesus, they'd followed Jesus, they'd heard a lot of his teaching, but they had got to the point where they thought, what's in it for me? How can I benefit from being in this small group of Jesus' disciples? And Jesus just took a tiny child. In the Greek word, it suggests it was a little toddler, and put that child in the midst of them and just said, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And you have to change to be in that kingdom. So if we could look at the first image, that would be great. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. These are really strong words of Jesus. But if we're going to follow his kingdom, that's what he's asking of us. She'd already asked how many of you had been to see the Giants yesterday. We had the privilege of being surrounded by them. They were down Hanover Street at one moment. The dog was running along there and the little boy. And then down Church Street, outside Marks and Spencer's, we saw the enormous big Giant. And it was interesting for me, having done some of this preparation, to actually imagine myself as a little child again. And seeing this enormous Giant just made me feel so small and so insignificant. And just seeing these guys moving this amazing contraption along just made me think about how they were totally, how the giant was totally dependent on them. And it just brought some things up for me about what I wanted to say this morning. It's about feeling insignificant, about living a lowly and a humble life, and also being totally dependent on God. So within the Jewish community and the Jewish society at that time, a child was not seen as anything of significance. Hence, that's why Jesus used a child. A child was a person of no importance. They were not taken seriously. They were a social non-entity, and they had no place in the hierarchy. And yet Jesus says, you need to become as little children. In other words, you need to be unconcerned for social status and in fact be socially insignificant. So Jesus chose a child because of their powerlessness. They lacked social standing and they lacked status. And as Tom reminded us last week, if you were here, that what the disciples were looking for, and many of Jesus' followers, was that earthly kingdom. And they grew up in a culture that understood only one politic, and that was power. That might be military power, it might be military strength, it might be the power of the family, it might be the power of the village tradition, but they understood the word power and how to get it and how to lose it. And they really wanted Jesus to rise up, be this powerful leader, lead them in a military campaign that overthrew the Romans and established the earthly kingdom. And Tom talked about that so brilliantly last week. And yet Jesus, as we know, was born in a lowly stable. And there was a complete difference to what they were expecting from him. And the disciples had sort of heard some of this from Jesus' teaching. Only two chapters earlier in Matthew, Jesus has said these really strong words. To follow me, you need to deny yourself. You need to forget about yourself and your own interests. And you need to take up your cross to follow me. And even though the disciples had heard that and tried to take that on board, tried to understand that that's what they were doing, they were giving up their own interests. They were laying down their own agenda to follow Jesus, they still ask that question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, they were still preoccupied with the idea that Jesus' kingdom was going to be an earthly kingdom. And they wanted somehow to have a position of advantage, of power, instead of a place of service. And what Jesus is asking of us is to end our love affair with power, position, and status. This is an upside-down kingdom. Look at this child. That's what my kingdom looks like. Powerless, no social standing. Let's look at this child. Thank you, Amy, for bringing one right into the midst of us. That's a toddler. Hello. It's nice to meet you. If you need a sort of visual aid, there's one in the corner just right there. Thank you. Is that okay? Yeah. So we need to end our love affair with power, with position and status. This is an upside down kingdom where up is down and down is up. It's interesting, isn't it, in our world of today, that the word down is seen as negative. We use words like downfall, downhearted, downhill. And up is seen as a word to be admired and pursued. We're up and coming. We're upwardly mobile. It's the direction to go in. Up is the way. And surely, isn't it better to rule rather than to serve? Isn't it better to wield power rather than submit to authority? Isn't it better to be honoured rather than look for ways to honour others? We're surrounded by influence that encourages us today to look for positions of power and status and social standing. There's quite a few of you here who are students, so you may be at this point in your life where you're thinking what your job's going to be, what you're going to do after uni, what's it going to look like? And there will be pressure to get the best job you can, to earn the most you can, to push your way through, even if it affects other people. We have a very strong power in our culture today. It's called social media. And today's culture has been described as a culture of unrelenting self-obsession, from selfies to celebrity. We're feeding our own ego. We live according to my rules and according to me, and we get what we want. And we want recognition, and we want to be noticed, and we want to know what's in it for me. Our culture's pushing us constantly in that direction. And here we are saying, Jesus says there's another way. Where up is down, and down is up. Where we give up our claims to power and status, because that's what counts in the kingdom of God. Spiritual greatness requires humility. We're descending into greatness. We're descending, and it involves emptying ourselves. I think if some of you were around when Jude was licensed, I think is the right word, about 2 weeks ago, and he mentioned this about demotion into promotion. Demotion into promotion. The whole idea of going down, becoming a servant, living a lowly, humble life. Not pushing for social status. Not pushing for power. But allowing ourselves to live as Jesus lived. And that was a life of giving. That was a life of serving. That was a life of losing and of dying. And that's what we're called to if we're going to follow Jesus. Philippians 2. I can't speak without talking about Philippians 2. So if you want to turn with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus isn't asking us to do something that he didn't do himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. C.S. Lewis has a wonderful picture of how Jesus poured out every right he had to be God. And he describes it as someone going down, dredging the sea bottom, down through the green and warm and sunlit water into the pitch black, cold, freezing water, down into the mud and the slime. Jesus came down into our world and he gave up everything. He said, I have not come to tug the strings of power, but to give myself away. He was not motivated by the love of power, but motivated by the power of love. Okay, so that's where we're at this morning. That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And I guess I'm asking this question of myself as I've prepared this, and maybe you're asking that question, but how do I live like this? How do I live this upside down kingdom day by day, taking that downward path, being more like Jesus, living a life of humility? So what I want to do in the last few moments is I just want to look at some characteristics of children and hopefully practically just suggest some ways that we could live a life of humility, learning to live our lives to serve him rather than to serve ourselves. So if we could have the first picture up, or the next picture actually, thank you. Don't know if you've noticed that when children receive something, maybe you remember this as yourself, but when children receive presents at their birthdays, often they'll get loads of different things, and there are certain presents that are really significant because mum and dad have put quite a lot of money into those presents, and so they're the special ones. But this a child receives lots of other things as well. Interestingly, often the child will go to the marbles, the small insignificant things, or the box that the things have come in. Because a child doesn't necessarily understand that actually that was a significant present, because that cost us the most money. Sometimes the small insignificant ways in which we serve others is what delights God. Find where you can serve. Acknowledge the value of another person. Encourage each other. Honor each other. Have consideration for each other. Look for the evidence of grace in others. They may seem small things and insignificant things, but they can make such a difference in somebody else's life. The service of hiddenness. So easy, isn't it, when we're maybe serving somebody else or doing something for somebody else, to want to be recognised, to want to gain approval. It's so hard to do something just because we believe it's what God's asking of us. And to live that way with no recognition and no approval. So we're promoting the welfare of others in ways seen by God alone, serving in hiddenness. For me, the greatest example of this, I think, in my life was when I had the privilege of working for a little while in Mother Teresa's destitute and dying home in Delhi in India. and to work alongside the nuns that were working there, who basically just wanted to care for people who were at the end of their life and allow them to have dignity as they died. And for me, that was the most moving time, I think, of learning what it was to serve in hiddenness. Because they didn't get boxes of chocolates brought by the family. They didn't get nice flowers. They didn't get a thank you card. They did it because of their love for God and for humankind. And to see them care and cleanse wounds that I can't even describe, so that somebody can die with dignity, with no need for any approval or recognition from outside. That's a service of hiddenness. And that's what God's calling us to not look for the recognition or the approval, but to serve him whatever. It's so easy, isn't it, to wait for the opportunities that seem important enough to merit my service. It's so easy to think of ways that I can be noticed and I can be affirmed than to actually leave that to God. And you might be thinking right at the moment, how do we live that out in family life? Well, that's really hard. Sacrificing that sort of desire to always be right, to always get our own way, but be willing to sacrifice our own rights and reverse the me first attitude. It's really hard in family life or when we're living close with other people. I believe that's what Jesus is asking of us. Ephesians 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in work life, it might be that you sometimes feel, I'm always the one that gets the coffee. I'm always the one that's serving other people. Sometimes it's really inappropriate and time-wise it doesn't quite work for me. And sometimes it's really inconvenient. But this is what Jesus is saying. We need to serve and we need to be the one to put others first, to honour others, to encourage others, to promote others. And in church life, we have rotas galore, and we really need those rotas for this church to run smoothly and effectively. And often people who do these things are not noticed, and that's fine, because that's what it's all about. We need to make ourselves available, and we need to make ourselves vulnerable. So one way, or one big way of trying in our lives to live a life of humility is to be content with small things, is to be willing to be involved in the service of hiddenness and to submit and to sacrifice. We can move on to the next one, please. It's a wonderful thing about children, isn't there? Again, you saw it with the giants, you know, when they see something that's so awesome and amazing, they just have this great desire, this lovely surprise on their faces. Sometimes it's when they've done an activity for the first time and it's like, wow, that worked, that was great. And there's a real sense of surprise. And it's just lovely to see that. If you haven't seen it, you need to look out for that in children, how they just love new things and respond with such great surprise and wonder as well. And I think this is one of the other ways in which we can learn to live lowly and humble lives, is to continue to stand in awe of God. Continue to be amazed at what Jesus has done for us. When we look at Jesus, the one whose kingdom we are choosing to serve and live in, then it puts everything in perspective. Who am I that Jesus should die for me? And many, many songs written just at the moment about that whole idea of never losing the wonder. And it's really important that we never lose the wonder. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, there is only one thing I know of that crushes me to the ground and humiliates me to the dust, and that is to look at the Son of God and especially contemplate the cross. Never lose the wonder of the cross. The wonder of grace. The wonder of salvation. Gosh, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel humble because I can't earn it. I can't work for it. It's given freely. Let's never lose the wonder of that. Let's continue to always be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Let's live in a state of dangerous wonder, knowing that there is so much more to know about God and so much more to absorb about who he is, to be open to be surprised and have wonder in our eyes. Let's never lose the wonder. And let's begin our day by acknowledging our dependence and need of God. Because if we think we can do it on our own, then we're not in that position of humility and lowliness. We need to declare war on our pride and say, God, I can't do this today. I can't live for you today. I can't walk out of here today and live in the way that I should without you. God, I need you. We think back to that passage. There had to be a change of outlook. We have to become like little children. We, who are already grown up, need to turn back and become children again. I don't know if you can imagine that, but we're going from adulthood, from a sense of maturity, to childhood. We're lowering ourselves to the level of a child when we're already mature. And some of us are possibly thinking, I've just become independent and you're telling me now to become dependent. But actually we're becoming dependent on God. That's just great. I couldn't have asked for better. Thank you, Mimi. We're becoming dependent on God. We are changing from being that mature adult to being a child and saying, God, I am utterly and completely dependent on you. I have no status, no influence. I am powerless, but I am totally dependent. And as we know with a child, they are so dependent on their parents. They're content to be fed, to be loved, to be cared for. They're not asking where the next meal comes from. They're not at that stage. They're not asking when they're sitting in their little buggy, oh, it's raining. Gosh, what are we going to do about the rain? How am I going to sort this one out? No, mum and dad or somebody else, our carer, is going to look out for how I'm going to be cared for in the rain. And that's what we need to understand about God. God is our Father. We've sung some amazing songs this morning in worship about how good he is. God is good. And his love goes on and on and on. And we need to put ourselves into that point where we know that he will meet our needs, where we know that we will be content, where we know that we are loved and cared for, we are cherished, we are a child of God. And if we do that every morning and put ourselves in that place that says, God, I need you. I need to be completely and totally dependent on you today. For every breath, for my life, for my ability to walk into work or to walk into university and be who I need to be. I need your help. If we did that every day, then we begin to be at a place of humility, a place of a young child, a place where we're saying, I want to live my life to build your kingdom, God, for you to be glorified. I want to live my life to serve you instead of serving myself. Amen. The band goes.